You know, so I hate to say it, but I'll just point out what's obvious. This is the time of year that normal people somehow transform into infectious disease experts. I'm sorry, I thought this clip was so funny. But for me, one of the most interesting connections you'll see, the conversations you watch, is normal parents try and compare notes to try and discover what sorts of diseases that they're about to get when they discover that they have a tighter connection with their community than they realize. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, congrats, but you'll hear this conversation, it sounds like this. You find out that one of your kids' classmates at school is out sick, and all of a sudden your heart drops. It sounds like an innocent passing comment. Tommy wasn't there at school today. He's sick. And as a parent, you might not know Tommy, you might not care about Tommy, but all of a sudden your ears perk up at the word sick. Do you know why? Because like it or not, you have a connection to this other kid by proximity, classroom, and germs. And up to this point, you might not think you have anything in common with this other family, but you start wondering if you're about to, because you've seen your kid not good at staying away from other kids. Kids are not good at washing their hands, covering their mouth. I won't tell you which kids I have seen licking public handrails, but I'm just telling you, kids catch diseases, and they're more connected to people than they think, because here's the thing, as soon as one kid gets sick, you've got a lot in common with other families. So you find this fascinating diagnosis question because you're interested in knowing what your kid is about to get. So you ask when the symptom starts. And you hear about the upset stomach and the fever. And you ever watch like the eyes of parents as they find out about other kids getting sick because they see their future and it doesn't look like any of the plans that they had because I hate to say it, it's a time of year that when you have kids, you've got more connections than you think you do. Okay, enough about that. Some of you look really nervous. To be clear, I don't know about anyone who's sick. I just know about the calendar and how it works. And as far as I know, everybody seems fine. Some of you still look nervous. We do have hand sanitizer in the back, but you know, it's the season that we discover how closely we are connected. Now, this is the last message in our sermon series entitled Life in Christ Church. And we have for weeks now been looking at what the Bible says about what God's people are and what God has called us to do. And the Bible is challenging. It encourages us to bring God glory, to love each other, and somehow make a difference. Now, this is the very last message in this series. Next week, to give you a preview, we're going to start a series on the book of 1 Thessalonians, and it's not complicated, it's pretty predictable. We're just going to open up the book of 1 Thessalonians and go paragraph by paragraph of an amazing letter in the Bible by St. Paul, and it's so great. He goes through the things that are true to people who are going through chaos. And I'll just tell you, I've learned so much from the book of 1 Thessalonians. I'm excited to talk about it, but I do want to encourage you that you'll get the most out of it if you read ahead. So if you have a Bible, read 1 Thessalonians. Let God speak to you, and we'll talk about it next week. I think there's some great things to study here. But today, we're going to finish our study on the church by looking one last time at how God talks about us. Now, in the New Testament, especially in the writings of Paul, there's one word used over and over to describe you. And the word is body. It's everywhere in the New Testament. So we're going to talk about it. And I'm excited to talk about it because it is one of the most common images of a church. But I think most of you have probably heard the word, but I think a lot of us don't get it. Because most of us hear the word body and we get one of two points from it. Some of us go, body of Christ, and the only thing we get out of it is that we're a diverse group. That a body is a hand, it's ears, it's mouth, it's feet. We're all different. And that's true, but that's not the whole point. Or you hear the body of Christ calling people to be on a mission, to say, we are God's hands, we're his feet, so get to work. And that's true too. But that is not the main point of what a church body is. And to make it even more confusing, we have what I would call an English problem. Unlike ancient Greek, the word body is used in English to describe almost any group of people. I didn't know this, but I discovered that the word corporation comes from the word corpus, like corpse. Like corporation has a word body built into it. And in English, any group of people doing almost anything can be described as a body, which really takes away from the specialness of when God calls his people the body. Because when Jesus talks about the body, when Paul talks about it, it's provocative. It wasn't used before. And there's a much bigger, more profound point than any of those things we talked about. And I'm convinced, I've learned that when we don't get it, what God means when he calls us the body of Christ, we miss out on something really, really important. What we're going to talk about is that the most widely used image of the church, the body, I think it actually tells you something that we forget. That's something we really need. In fact, I would go so far as to say that when you don't understand or when you don't remember what the body communicates, it messes us up. It's why I believe many of us are so lonely. It's why some folks are insecure. When you don't understand what it means when God calls us his body, it makes us isolated. It makes us less willing to find help or get help. I think there are so many problems that would be solved if we would just remember what God calls us. I'm just going to give away kind of the headline here. The most important part about being a body is connection. The thing you remember, when the Bible describes you as the body of Christ, what God is saying, that you are somehow connected to other people and to God in ways you may not even be able to see, maybe in ways you can't explain. And I'll be honest, I think a lot of folks have tried to explain it, and I don't know if I can. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says about you. And it's not even that revolutionary. I think a lot of the other images in the Bible, like the bride of Christ, that implies a connection, or as a flock implies a connection with a shepherd or a temple, or I love this metaphor, the church, you are like a vine. This is Jesus's. Jesus says to his disciples in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is a connection metaphor, right? Here's the thing about vines, branches, and fruit. They're connected. If they're not connected, they're dead, right? I've got some grapevines. I don't know that much about plants, but earlier this summer, I was playing around the garden, and I cut, like, it's sort of close to the root. I cut this thick vine. In fact, it was so long and tangled up. It went for like 20 feet. It's all tangled up. I had no idea what branches or what grapes were connected to the vine. But believe it or not, I could figure it out a couple days later. Anybody know how I could look at a giant mess of branches and tell you exactly which one was connected to the vine that I cut? Any guesses? Yeah, right? It was dead. It was wilted. It was not that hard to tell because they were alive only as they were connected to the vine and the branches and the fruit. That is Jesus' metaphor, that as a human being of faith, there is a connection between you, a Christian, and Jesus. And when you're connected, Jesus says, you bear much fruit, you prosper, you flourish, and when you're cut off, when you're disconnected, you do, what does it say? You do nothing. That's what the metaphor of a body communicates. You, Christians, are joined together as you're joined to Christ. What does this mean? And I'll just admit, that Christian theologians have talked about the connection as a mystery. I'll be honest, the Bible doesn't talk about the mechanics, but it says a lot about the connection itself. And I'm just going to tell you some of what the Bible says about the connection, and I'll leave the mysterious parts as mysterious because I can't explain the mechanics. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says. And the first thing that the Bible says is sort of fascinating to me. The Apostle Paul seems, I'll just say, really enthusiastic about the body of Christ. And I thought about it. I thought about the first time the Apostle Paul ever saw Jesus. Unlike a lot of the other apostles, Paul saw Jesus only in his resurrected body. If you know the story, Saul, the persecutor of the church on the road to Damascus, was confronted by the risen Lord, blinded, and he became Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, who never forgot seeing Jesus in a blinding way. It was the resurrected body of Christ. So when you read Paul, he talks about the body of Christ an awful lot, and I think it's because of that image ingrained in his eyes and in his soul. I'll give you an example. This is Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I just want you to look for what he says about the word body. Paul says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." And there's lots and lots of verses like this where Paul just goes out of his way to talk about the body of Jesus and us. And I don't want to ignore this because this says a lot about the hope that we have. And this is the gospel for Paul, that our sins committed in our bodies deserve God's punishment, and the body of Jesus suffered in our place. And the judgment of God came upon the body of Jesus as surely as if we were getting punished ourselves. That's the story of the gospel. That Jesus in human flesh died and he rose in a body. And somehow believers in Christ, is Paul's language, we died with him and we rise with him in this body connection. Dozens and dozens of verses. Some of them say the point better than the verse I have behind me. That you as a Christian have an unseen but real connection with Jesus. That you, like the incarnated Jesus, you may suffer, you may die, but like Jesus Christ in his body, you as his body, the body of Christ, will one day rise just like Jesus did. And Jesus will, look at verse, look at the last verse here, or last line. Jesus will transform our lowly bodies, bodies that fail, that get injured, that fade. Jesus will change your physical body to be more like the resurrected, glorious body of Christ. There's lots and lots of verses we could point to here. Paul calls the resurrection of Jesus Christ a down payment. It's almost like a trial run. Paul makes this argument that, look, if Jesus rises from the dead, if his like literal body gets up from the tomb, you will too. You're the body of Christ. You will rise into eternity. Paul makes that argument. And I can't make the, I don't know exactly how the connection works. I'm just reporting the good news. I mean, think about when Paul talks about the gospel. I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 3-5. Here's what he writes. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Now, for Paul, this is not a separate history lesson about a person. For Paul, this is a story about you, the body of Christ. And I appreciate how, like, this illustration doesn't work, but just bear with me for a second. I'm trying to think about too much about it. Imagine that you have a preschool kid in the nursery. And imagine that tomorrow you talk to another preschool dad, and you hear him say, "I had a rough night. My son was throwing up all night." Your heart drops because you're thinking, "I just saw both of those kids licking the floor in the hallway after I picked them up." I'm using dad's illustration, moms would never let this happen. Some of you look really nervous. This did not happen. But all of a sudden, when you hear something like that, right, when you hear a detail about someone else, all of a sudden, this is no longer a story about another family that you may not care about. This is your story because you're connected. And you kind of see your future, right? Because some of you have exactly seen this go down. And you know that for the rest of the week, anytime your son coughs, gags, doesn't feel hungry, feels hungry, you can't help thinking about that story because you're connected. I know, what an awful example, right? It doesn't work in a lot of ways. But for those who look alarmed, again, no one's sick. I don't know of anyone who's even ill, but I want to make this point about connection. This is not just someone else's story. This is not just going, "This is Jesus over here." This is this is something that happens to you as the body of Christ. The story of what happens to Jesus' body is your story because you are the body of Christ. The story of Christ's body is our story. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. That the suffering and death of his body is somehow connected to us. His suffering is connected to our sin. Our forgiveness is connected to his suffering. And again, this isn't just the symptoms or life experience of someone who died 2,000 years ago. If you're a Christian in Christ, you are the body of Christ. That somehow you are connected to Jesus in ways that are hard to explain, hard to talk with the mechanics, but it has a lot of meaning behind it. That this is your story, because you are the body of Christ. You are connected to him. There's some other implications of that. I'll give you one. So when Jesus was incarnated, which means he got a body, right? That's what the word means. God shows up in his body. John 1:14, the word became flesh, so he tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. So where Jesus says about his own body, he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus calls his physical body on earth a temple. God shows up where his body is, which is fine until you realize that God calls you a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:15, 19, 20 is on the screen behind me. I'll read it. Paul says, "Don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Because your body is connected to Jesus somehow. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Or 1 Corinthians 3:16. And 17, Paul says, "Don't you know you are a temple of God and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit dwells in you?" Again, I can't explain the mechanics of it, but the claim is that even in the brokenness of institutions, even in the failures of people of faith, God lives in the body of Christ, which is you. And somehow you are connected to Jesus. We belong to Christ. We belong to each other. We share the same life, experience, and destiny of Jesus, which means a lot, right? It means we're called to be like Jesus, to love each other, to love the world in grace and truth. You are the body of Christ. And that means something amazing. That's true. That I just, again, I can't explain all the details. I can't answer my own questions. But I can tell you that it's true. I do think, though, when we forget that, like when we don't remember that we are the body of Christ, I think that sets you up for danger. What kind? I'll give you some examples. I'm convinced that, first of all, when you forget that you are the body of Christ, I think, first of all, you forget who you are and what God wants you to do. When you forget that you're part of the body, we think that we're independent and it looks like pride and can look like selfishness and loneliness. When we forget we're the body of Christ, we forget to stay connected to God and with each other. That's the first danger. Second danger, when you forget, when you don't remember that you're the body of the Christ, you know what happens? You forget your diversity and unity. And we start to think that everybody should be like me, or that I become better than other people. What's it look like? It looks like being judgmental and critical and divisive. So you'll find Christians who fight and gossip, and we reject people who are different from us. We make cliques or factions. When we forget that we are together, the body of Christ, we miss out on the beauty and the harmony of being part of a beautiful, diverse body of Christ. Number three, the third danger, when we forget that we're the body of Christ, we forget our responsibility and accountability for other people. We live for ourselves and we do whatever we want because we forget we're part of a group. It looks like being irresponsible or rebellious. We forget what God has commanded us to do. All the things about loving each other and our neighbors, and we harm ourselves, we hurt others, we use our words, our actions, attitudes to bring harm instead of help, and that's a big danger of forgetting about the body of Christ. Last one, I've got one more. When we forget that we're the body of Christ, we forget about our future. We forget about the resurrection. We start to believe this lie that this world is all that we get. And we become convinced, whether we say it or not, we don't think there's anything beyond death. We live for today. And that sometimes looks like fear or despair. We ignore or deny the promises of God in the gospel of the resurrection, and we suffer or we succumb to trials and temptations, all the downs. And we miss out because we forget what happens after Jesus suffers, the resurrection. It's dangerous to forget that we are the body of Christ. But it doesn't have to be that way. I think all these things change when we remember the body of Christ. When we remember that we have this life-giving connection from the vine, it's how God gives us hope. Remembering is how we find hope. Jesus knows this. In fact, he gave you something specifically to remind you that you are the body of Christ, that we are connected to Christ as his body. It's symbolized and it's demonstrated in tangible ways in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul again writes, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ?" It's a connection, right? It shows what's true, that we're connected. The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ, seeing that we who are many are one bread, one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Communion is connection. The bread is to remind us of the body of Christ. The cup, a memorial of his blood, is suffering, shed for us. I mean, Christ has taken basic food and drink set before us to help us not forget that we are his body, and that we who share the benefits of Christ's death and the hope of his resurrection, we are connected to each other. We're connected to God. The bread is one. The body of Christ that it represents, it's us. It's one. This is incredibly true. And I'm convinced that remembering that you are the body of Christ, that can change your life. We talked about all the ways that forgetting is dangerous to you. Remembering helps you in ways that we need so badly to remember who we are, remember who we belong to, and remember who we serve. Communion, celebrating the body of Christ, reminds us that you are never alone. You are part of a bigger body, that you're not superior or inferior to other people. We're not free agents. We're stewards. We're servants. Remembering the body of Christ, that we are the body of Christ, is how God designed us to function. Living out of that is how God empowers us to be, to give us what we need to love our neighbors and love each other. Living out our label, we are the body of Christ, is how we honor him, is how we grow in him, with him, and for him. Remembering that we are the body is how we experience his grace, his love, and faithful connection in our lives. So, Father in heaven, please forgive us of all the times when we forget who we are, when we forget that we are the body of Christ. Forgive us from all the times when we live for today to the neglect of eternity, for all the times when we forget about your goodness to us, all the times we feel too guilty, forgetting that you have taken on the punishment for our sins. Father, instead, help us to get life and energy and purpose from being connected to you. May we live out our calling as your body. I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.